but it really hurts. When labor begins, it's common for the mother to feel fearful. Fear leads to tension, and tension leads to pain. The more tense her muscles are, the uterus is a muscle box too, the more discomfort she will have. Also, when fear is experienced, adrenaline is released into the bloodstream and circulated throughout the body. This affects muscle function, heart rate, and causes an increased awareness of discomfort, anxiety, etc. There can be emotional as well as physical tension as well. Relaxation is the key in helping to facilitate the process of birth emotionally and physically. Start finding out how she likes to be touched and or massaged to relax before she goes into labor. Find those supporting words to whisper in her ears while she can tell you what she likes and doesn't like. Always be positive. Don't say, "You're not listening to me, you're not focusing," etc. Say, "You're doing a great job and I love you. I'm proud of you and I admire you," and so on. Don't be afraid to touch her, and if she doesn't like what you're doing or saying, don't take it personally. In the early stages of labor, try using distractions to pull attention away from the pain. Try playing a game, talking, taking a walk, or watching a movie. Labor will progress, as will the pain, but distraction early on can be an effective tool for her and you as well. As contractions become stronger and closer together, your role becomes more and more important. If you attend a birthing class, now is the time to put all of those lessons into action. If you didn't go to class, ask the nurse for tips. At this point, your main job is to keep your partner focused. She shouldn't give up and she shouldn't panic. If she starts acting restless or agitated during a contraction, make eye contact with her and encourage her to take a deep breath. Hold her hand and tell her she's doing great. Be prepared because your encouragement may not be so well received at times. One San Francisco doctor recalls a dad whose wife screamed at him to shut up when he told her in mid-contraction that she was doing great. Between contractions, you will be your partner's caretaker and servant at the same time. If she wants some ice chips, you'll be getting some right away. If she wants a back rub, you'll be rolling up your sleeves and getting to work. Have her eat something before going to the hospital or before heavy labor begins. We're not talking about a 5-course dinner, but something to fill her belly slightly. It will most likely be many hours before she can eat anything solid, so she needs to have a little something on her stomach. Choose foods that are easy to digest and are unlikely to cause nausea. Once in the birthing room, create a comfortable, quiet environment with soft lighting and music. You may want to consider aromatherapy, but be warned that the senses are heightened during labor, so don't make the smells too overwhelming or intrusive. Use loving words and touch her with a kiss or two, or three or more. Take her for an imaginary swim in a lake or walk on a beach to help her relax. Be prepared for her to change her mind if something isn't working for her. The best laid plans might need to be changed on a moment's notice, no matter how prepared you are. Pace yourself. You may be there for the next 5 or 10 hours or more, without a lot of time off. Don't forget to take care of yourself. Use your body rather than your arms to provide counter pressure. Sit down whenever you can. These measures do not inhibit labor and in many cases can enhance labor's progression. Mobility and activities like pelvic rocking help the baby shift into the optimal position for birth. Upright posture allows gravity to help the baby open the cervix and descend into the birth canal. Strategies to relax muscles keep muscle tension from impeding the work of the uterus. Some physical activities that can help with the pain include walking around, positioning pillows around for her comfort, and massaging. Many women experience severe back pain during labor. Often rubbing her back will help alleviate the pain. One stellar trick we've learned is to bring a tennis ball to rub on her back during contractions. This saves pain in your hands and helps her with her back labor. You may want to look into learning acupressure. Acupressure is often different than massaging. It's the application of pressure of certain points in order to alleviate pain without rubbing and kneading the skin. This can be a very effective technique in pain management. During periods of intense physical demand and stress, the body produces natural painkillers called endorphins. In a case of no pain, no gain, endorphins are also responsible for the exhilaration and joy that can follow such periods. When you place pressure on certain areas, the body will release endorphins naturally. Often rocking will help ease the pain as well. To do this effectively, you may want to hold her from behind and with your arms around her shoulders. Hold her closely and gently rock back and forth in a rhythmic pattern. The rhythm will also help calm her. It might sound cliche, but breathing through contractions will help immensely. Breathe with her and make sure that she does the breathing in through her nose and out through her mouth, and this will prevent hyperventilation. Often warm showers or baths can help with the labor pains too. A great tool to have is to fill a sock with uncooked rice. This can be heated in the microwave to provide the warmth that may help relax her muscles. The alternative is a cool cloth or ice pack. Put this on her forehead or neck to provide comfort. As we said, labor is hard work, so the possibility of her overheating is very real. Another good technique is to have her find a spot somewhere in the room to focus on as she's breathing through her contractions. This can be something already in the room or something you both prepared prior to delivery. Try putting the sonogram picture of your baby on the wall. Breathing can go a long way to ease the pain of childbirth. During active labor, the goal is to remain as relaxed as possible so the cervix can continue to dilate and provide baby with generous oxygen supply in preparation for birth. The following breathing techniques, used alone or in combination, can be effective throughout labor. Practice these techniques during your pregnancy. Mastering them prior to actual labor can allow you to vary the patterns to provide the most effective relief. 1. Deep cleansing breaths. Take these long, deep breaths at the beginning and the end of each contraction. Number 2. Slow chest breathing. Take these slow, focused breaths 8 to 10 times per minute during the early, milder contractions of the first stage of labor. Number 3, rapid chest breathing. Using these same techniques as you employed in earlier labor, double the speed of these more focused chest breaths as the first stage of labor continues and contractions increase in frequency and intensity. And number 4, shallow chest breathing. Use this shallow panting technique at the peak of your most intense contractions. Giving birth is a long, hard job. At some point during the hours of labor, you and your partner will discover something, perhaps a breathing pattern, a spot on the ceiling, a stuffed animal from home that she can focus on during the contractions. With the Lamaze method of childbirth, your job is to help your partner find this distraction and then bring her back to it whenever she starts to think that she won't be able to make it. Always ask permission before starting anything new. You want to make sure that the steps you're taking are helpful and soothing for her. Give her emotional support. Tell her often that she's doing a great job. Using comfort measures like this, delay the use of pain medication. Medications are more likely to cause problems with repeated dosages, so different types of drugs are mixed and with prolonged use can cause problems. By using comfort measures, you may need only one dose of a narcotic instead of 3. You may avoid using both a narcotic and an epidural, or you may delay having an epidural. We'll talk about epidurals a little bit later. The benefit is that you can instantly be stopped if it doesn't help, or in the unlikely event that it causes trouble, for example, the baby doesn't like you to be in some particular position, you can simply find another one. Pain medications, once administered, cannot be rescinded, and you may need another drug or procedure to remedy the ill effects. These, in turn, introduce their own risks. Comfort measures may not provide adequate pain relief. This can lead to the feeling of personal failure if the mother wanted an unmedicated birth. Still, this will rarely be the case if you respect and support the mother's desire to avoid pain medication. Acknowledge her efforts to do so and support whatever decision she makes. A lot of things can change once heavy labor begins. So if she starts to scream for everything in the hospital's medicine cabinet, by all means, let her. All of this takes some preparation, so you'll want to make a list before labor begins. This is often referred to as the labor toolkit. What are some of the things that you'd like to include? The labor toolkit. As the birthing partner, you'll be responsible for putting together what you'll need in the delivery room for comfort. Even though the mom-to-be is the center of attention, you'll need some things for yourself as well. Labor takes a long time, normally anywhere from 12 to 18 hours, perhaps longer. Most of the time, labor takes place at night, so it's imperative, Dad, for you to be comfortable. With that in mind, it's recommended that you have a bag ready to go, not only for her, but for you as well. when she announces that it's time. The Good Labor Toolkit contains many items. Here are a few suggested items. An extra shirt and change of clothes for yourself. You could be here a while, so the comfort counts too. A bathing suit in case you want to join your partner in the bath or shower. The sight of a naked man while in labor isn't normally welcomed. Have some snacks for yourself handy. You could be in there a while, and even if McDonald's is just down the road, she might not appreciate your jaunting out for a Big Mac, especially when all she can most likely have is ice chips or popsicles. A tennis ball is essential for back labor. A portable CD or cassette player to set the mood in the room. Candles for soft lighting, and be sure to check with the hospital to see if it's allowed. Things to do for both you and the mother. Cards, board games, word searches, crosswords, and such types of games can provide a much-needed distraction during early stages of labor. If the doctor will allow it, bring lollipops for her to suck on when she gets hungry. A list of phone numbers for the people you'll want to call once the blessed event occurs. We have one note about calling people after the blessed event. As a general rule, men want to know two things: what the sex of the baby is, and is the mom doing well? The details are unimportant. Women, however, require details. Having a baby is a defining event in a woman's life. It's also a benchmark by which women compare themselves to one another. Therefore, you have to provide a certain extra information to women. Understand that what you provide is not nearly enough, but coming from a man, it will be more than they expected, and they will be appreciated. They will also brag on you to your wife. Scented oils and lotions can help soothe the nervous mother while you're rubbing the areas she needs massaged. And don't forget the camera. Most hospitals don't allow video cameras in the birthing room anymore, but they encourage picture taking, especially after the baby arrives. If you're bringing a digital camera, don't forget plenty of batteries. Change for the vending machines in case your snacks give out. Hand lip balm for her. All the breathing and stress can dry out her lips. She'll think you're wonderful for remembering this simple item. What happens in the comfort if the comfort measures don't work and mom needs some medication? Most likely, it'll be an epidural. Let's define some non-natural pain relief. The tennis ball didn't work. Making the decision to have a natural childbirth is every woman's personal decision, but often they change their mind when the reality of the pain they're in hits them. With the medical technologies out there today and the advances made in medicine, having a little extra relief just might make sense. There are two basic medical reliefs out there that can be made during labor to ease mom's pain. These are pain relievers, much stronger than Tylenol and the epidural. We'll look at both. Pain relievers. All drugs cross the placenta to the baby, and therefore it makes sense to use them only when necessary, and in the smallest yet the most effective doses. Nubane and Demerol, for example, are common medications to give in labor. They are given in small doses, but they do tend to decrease the effort of the uterus, and they may make the baby sleepy if given too close to the delivery. Morphine is a newer system of pain relief, which is gaining wider acceptance. Morphine is instilled through a catheter into the space next to, but not within, the spinal cord in the lumbar region. Fetal effects are minimal, and the mother attains excellent pain relief without losing uterine effort, while still maintaining the pushing reflex. Side effects include itching and nausea in some patients. The doctor may offer to do a paracervical block. Medication is injected into the cervix, usually during the first stage of labor, to provide pain relief from contractions and dilations without interfering with the urge or ability to push. This drug may not work properly in up to one-third of the women, and it must be repeated every hour to maintain numbness. It is not used frequently today. Pudendal block is another option. The anesthetic is injected through the vaginal wall during the second stage of labor to relieve pain in the perineum, the area between the vagina and the rectum. It may be used in an otherwise unmedicated childbirth. The medication does not interfere with the urge or ability to push and generally masks the effect and repair of an episiotomy, the incision made to enlarge the vaginal opening. Finally, there is the spinal or saddle block. A single injection of regional anesthetic is made to the spinal canal, numbing the complete lower abdominal and perineal area. This type of anesthetic is rarely used during labor, but may be suggested if a forceps or cesarean delivery is required. Administration of a spinal block completely removes the urge to push and may lower blood pressure. In rare cases, it causes a severe headache when it wears off. Epidurals. The epidural is gaining in popularity to ease the pain of childbirth. A needle holding a thin, flexible tube is threaded into the space between the spinal cord and vertebrae. When the needle is removed, the anesthetic can flow continuously through the tube. Like a spinal block, this procedure provides full pain relief in the perineal area. Dosages can easily be changed or discontinued. Most physicians consider the epidural block to be the optimal method of pain relief for an uncomplicated labor or non-emergency cesarean births because it allows a woman to remain fully alert. Nevertheless, the anesthetic requires up to 20 minutes to take effect and may leave a painful hotspot. In addition, it may diminish uterine contractions, bringing on the need for oxytocin. The risk of forceps delivery is also increased. An anesthesiologist will be called in to administer the medication and place the tube. Generally, the only people allowed in the room during the procedure will be the mother, the birth attendant, and the doctor. You may be allowed to remain as well, but if not, don't worry. The anesthesiologist will have the mother sit up on the bed for the insertion of the tube. She may be given a numbing shot first in the spinal area. It's important that she remain completely still during the procedure to avoid any problems with the insertion of the needle and the tube. It doesn't take very long to do the procedure, so it isn't a problem. Epidurals are a necessary and excellent option for some women. They work best in women with prolonged labors. Most women can tolerate a labor which is progressive, but after many hours of minimal progress, when her support people are fading from exhaustion, when she's feeling as if all her work is not achieving her goal, the type of analgesia provided by the epidural allows the mother to rest and regroup. She should be counseled to expect IVs, artificial rupture of membranes, confinement to bed, oxytocin augmentation, and that the use of internal or external fetal monitoring will now be necessary. Such interventions come at the price of medicalizing the experience and taking away some of her control over her experience. For some, this is a small price to pay for relief of pain, and they feel that they do get some control back when the pain is relieved. Nearly all women who have chosen the epidural have reported being glad that they did, almost to the point of giddiness. This is essentially true of women who aren't having their first child and declined the epidural the first time around. I think the phrase I've heard is all along the lines of, if I had known it would be that great, I wouldn't have hesitated. Okay, we've made it to the birthing room, and we know how to give mom some comfort measures along with possible medication options. What about when it comes to the push? Baby's coming. Once the woman's cervix is fully dilated to 10 centimeters, it will be time for her to push. For many guys, this will seem like an easy task. After all, it's just pushing. Well, remember that a baby is a lot bigger than the hole it's coming out of. I once heard a comedian say it's like a man pushing a bowling ball out of his nose. At any rate, this doesn't go as quickly as you might think. The delivery part of childbirth is the hardest part, even harder than putting up with the pain of contractions. This is where your resiliency really comes into play. The big thing men need to remember about delivering a baby is that, well, it's gross, but beautiful all at the same time. Many guys report that they didn't mind the contractions and heavy labor, but when it came to the actual delivery, they were completely taken aback. The most often heard advice in locker rooms when talking about being present during childbirth might be to stay at the head of the bed and don't look down. It's a matter of choice, but this is a one-time thing, so if you really, really don't want to watch, don't. But be aware that you might miss out on something wonderful. It's at this time when her legs will be spread apart and everything God gave her will be exposed. Believe me, she doesn't care. Her modesty went out the door when the baby bore down in her pelvis trying to get out. When she's having a contraction is when she should be pushing. The birth attendant will be extremely helpful during this time, and listening to them is very important. You will get into a rhythm, though. The general position for pushing is with the legs apart. Big surprise, huh? She should take a deep breath through her mouth, hold it, and put her chin on her chest and bear down. Pardon the description, but it's like taking a big, huge bowel movement, to be as general about it as we can. Every time she pushes, the baby travels a little further down the birth canal. Breathing during the push causes the baby to suck back just a little, and impedes the progress, so encourage her to keep pushing as long as she can. When labor really gets underway, she'll be asked to do this 3 times in a row for 10 seconds at a time. This means the process will be something like this. Deep breath, push while you count to 10, 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi, a short rest, and then again 2 more times. The more she does this, the more progress the baby makes. If she holds her breath, this will provide more strength behind the pushing. However, there really is no one right way to push or breathe. It depends on what her body's telling her. So just be by her side and support whatever adjustment she needs to make in order to make the process progress. What do you do at this point? Hold her legs behind the knees, bringing them up to her chest. Count and encourage. You can't say, "You can do it," enough times. You can also try phrases like, "Keep it up," "You're doing great," "That's the way to do it," etc. Some phrases to avoid include, "Wow, that's gross. Can't you do any better than that? It can't be that bad." And, "Get it out, for heaven's sakes. Sports Center's coming on." While she's pushing and you're counting, the birth attendant will be monitoring the baby's progress again with the lubed, gloved fingers. They will probably also be making a circular motion around the cervix to make room for the baby. The doctor may choose to do an episiotomy to help provide a little more room for the baby to come out. This isn't nearly as bad as it seems, but you should know about it. Cut me, Mikey. An episiotomy is done by snipping the bottom of the vaginal opening to enlarge it for birth. With a midline or median episiotomy, the usual type in the U.S. and Canada, the practitioner cuts straight down towards the anus. With medial lateral episiotomy, the preferred type in other parts of the world, the cut slants off to one side. Some U.S. and Canadian caregivers routinely do medial lateral episiotomies, and some do them under certain circumstances, such as for forceps delivery. Compared with medial lateral episiotomies, midline episiotomies are easier to repair, hurt less afterwards, cause less blood loss, cause fewer complications during healing, give better anatomical results, and are less likely to cause pain during intercourse. However, midline episiotomies are much more likely to extend into or through the anal sphincter. If the baby is in trouble close to the birth, the doctor or midwife will not want to wait the additional time it may take for the birth without an episiotomy. In some cases, a woman is exhausted or not stretching well, and the caregiver will recommend an episiotomy. However, unless the birth attendant rarely does episiotomies, that judgment is questionable. If exhaustion is the issue, remember that an episiotomy shortens labor by an average of 9 minutes, and that is a good thing. Many birth attendants hesitate to do episiotomies. Some believe that they lead to pelvic floor weakness. The pelvic floor is a complex group of muscles that form a hammock suspended between the pelvic bone in the front and the base of the spinal column in the back. The urethra, vagina, and anus all pass through it. Pelvic floor weakness or injury can lead to sexual dysfunction, urinary stress, incontinence, and anal incontinence. However, if the baby is just isn't going to come out with an episiotomy, it becomes absolutely necessary, and most women heal easily from the procedure with Kegel exercise to strengthen the cup muscle. There will be some discomfort in the first few days after childbirth, even without an episiotomy. It is common for there to be some general soreness or even a small injury to the perineum. However, having an episiotomy will greatly increase the chances of having enough pain to interfere with walking or sitting comfortably. There can also experience intense stinging with urination and moving your bowels. Can be very uncomfortable for the first few days. If you're uncomfortable enough to have one of the complications of episiotomy, it extends or infects, you could be looking at a prolonged period of pain or problems such as anal incontinence that could seriously or even permanently affect the quality of your life, especially in having sexual relations. The harm done by an episiotomy may also not show up immediately. Urinary and anal incontinence may only begin years later when aging and further childbearing add to the toll taken by an episiotomy. Finally, the baby arrives. Welcome to the world. There's not much that can be said about the actual birth of the baby. As we've told you, there's a lot of pushing, screaming, grunting, and yelling, well, most of the time, prior to the arrival. We'll also do the best we can. After all, this pushing, the baby's head will begin to crown or show at the edge of the vagina. It's at this time that mom will be asked to push with all her might. It's hard work bringing a baby into the world, and at this point, it gets much harder. For the guy reference, read back to the bowling ball comment. The baby has made its journey down the birth canal and is close to entering the world. Once the baby's head is out, mom is usually asked to stop pushing, at which time the birth attendant will use a plastic bulb to suck out the mucus from the nose and mouth. After the head comes the shoulders, and the baby is here. This all happens very, very fast, so if you want to witness the baby's birth, be sure to focus your attention here. Mom is beginning to feel a huge sense of relief even after the head presents itself, so she's doing all right. The baby will be covered in mucus, and this is normal, so don't be alarmed. It washes off. Many men feel newborn babies resemble the traditional view of what aliens look like. Please refrain from saying anything of this sort. Mom just worked her butt off bringing the alien into the world, so keep it to yourself. Besides, that look wears off quite quickly, and the baby turns into one of the most beautiful human beings ever created. Trust me. The umbilical cord will be clamped off and then cut. You may be asked if you want to cut the cord. That's your decision, but rest assured it doesn't hurt the baby or the mother at all. There are times when it is necessary to help the delivery along using forceps or a vacuum extractor. Forceps resemble two large salad spoons, and the doctor uses them to guide the baby's head out of the birth canal. Vacuum extraction is done with a soft plastic cup that looks similar to an ice cream cone and is applied to the baby's head and stays in place by suction. There is a handle on the cup that allows the doctor to use this to assist in the delivery through the birth canal. The choice between using forceps and a vacuum extractor is usually made by the doctor. Neither of these procedures will cause harm to the baby, so don't be alarmed. This is the big moment, an event that you'll remember for the rest of your life. And here's the tough part. You must stay calm. Try to save your tears and hysteria until after the baby is born. Your wife needs your support, figuratively and literally. You'll be giving her encouragement with every push, and you may also be supporting her back so she can push comfortably. If you're up to it, you should also take a few moments to watch the actual birth. When you get your first glimpse of your baby's head, you can reassure your partner that she's almost done. When the baby is born, he or she will generally be placed on the mother's stomach, and you'll get your first really good look. There's a reason why doctors place the baby there. When newborns are kept close to their mother's body, they apparently feel safe, and the transition from life in the womb to existence outside the uterus is made much easier for them. The newborn also recognizes its mother's voice and smell, and her body warms his faster and in a healthier way than if you're placed in a bassinet fully covered with blankets or in an incubator. When full-term infants are skin-to-skin with their mother, they very seldom cry during the first 90 minutes of life. However, when placed in a nearby bassinet, they cry about 20 to 40 seconds during every 5-minute period for the next 90 minutes. Newborns are already perceptive enough to know the difference between a bassinet and their mother. Once the baby is here, ask mom what she needs for you to do. Does she want you to start calling people? Does she want you to sleep, or both? Help her relax. She may still benefit from back rubs, and she'll still be feeling some pain. Above all, enjoy the moment. Except for feeding and loving your baby, this is a time to rest. There's plenty of time later to think about the last 18 hours and the next 18 years. Men often have two impulses after watching their child being born. First they cry, then they grab a camera. As your partner holds your baby for the first time, you'll be firing the flashbulb. After a few good shots, you'll want to put down the camera and pick up your baby, hold him close, and let him study your face. If your baby goes to a nursery while your partner recovers, you go along and keep him company. When he drifts off to sleep, you can make the first round of phone calls to friends and family. And don't forget to check in with your partner, too. If she's awake, she'll want to hear the very latest on the baby's condition. She'll also want to hear how great she was, and that's about it. For all the work and pain, there's now a beautiful new life to celebrate. And what happens to the baby right after birth?